In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Text for our sermon this evening is recorded in the Gospel according to St. Mark. We read in the 14th chapter, the first 9 verses. Now the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread were only 2 days away, and the chief priests and the teachers of the law were looking for some sly way to arrest Jesus and kill him. But not during the feast, they said, or the people may riot. While he was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of a man known as Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar, a very expensive perfume, made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, "Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages, and the money given to the poor." And they rebuked her harshly. "Leave her alone," said Jesus. "Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them anytime you want. But you will not always have me." She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. I tell you the truth, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. This is God's word. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed, St. Mark wrote in his gospel, while he was in Bethany. St. John, in his parallel account, in his gospel wrote, here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. This dinner given in Jesus' honor at Bethany was held at the house of a man named Simon the leper. Present at the dinner were Mary and her sister Martha and her brother Lazarus and Jesus and his apostles. The Holy Spirit, through God's Word, tonight invites us to join in this dinner party. John also identified the woman about whom Mark writes, the woman came with an alabaster jar, a very expensive perfume made of pure nard, as Mary. It was Saturday evening, the night before the Sunday that we know as Palm Sunday. Mary had acquired a gift for Jesus. And Mary gave this gift as an offering to Jesus, as an anointing. When she did that, there was a response by the other guests who were at the dinner. Jesus knew why she had made this offering. It was a fruit of her faith. And that brings us to Jesus' words that are the general theme of our Lenten services. I tell you the truth. And thinking of this act of Mary, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, fruits of faith are remembered. We'll see, first of all, this evening that we will consider the preparation and the presentation of Mary's offering to Jesus. And then we'll look at the response to and reason for the offering that Mary gave Jesus. Mary prepared her offering for one of the guests who was very special to her. Jesus was very special to Mary for numerous reasons. We recall one of them when Martha was busying herself preparing a meal one time, and Martha or Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet hearing his word, and Jesus defended Mary to her sister and said, "Mary, only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her." Jesus had shared in Mary's tears and had wept with her at the grave of her brother Lazarus, now alive again and reunited with them. Lazarus was there that evening. She loved Jesus because with his powerful word, he had called her brother back from death and the grave. Without hesitation, without counting the cost, Mary had purchased this expensive gift that she would offer to her Savior. A jar of perfume made with nard, or sometimes called spikenard. Mary didn't buy that expensive perfume so that she would put it on and smell good for Jesus so that he would be attracted to her. She didn't buy that perfume to give it to Jesus as if he needed it. He didn't need it. At least, not yet. She didn't buy that gift to give Jesus some of it and then hold the rest back for herself. She prepared it to present it in an anointing. St. Mark wrote, "She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head." It was all for Jesus reclining there at the table. She didn't hold back a single drop, but she gave it all to her Savior. In his parallel gospel, John adds that not only did she pour this expensive perfume on Jesus' head, but using it all, she poured it also on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. Quite a presentation. Quite a way to offer that gift, to prepare that costliest offering and to present it to Jesus fully and completely. She gave to Jesus a very precious and personal sacrifice as she wiped the perfume off his body with her own hair. It was a fruit of her faith. On Sundays, we've been talking about fruits of faith. And really what make fruits of faith really special to God. And isn't that what we've been talking about? About our gifts, our offerings, our sacrifices to the Lord. They're precious and they're very personal as we offer them as a fruit of our faith in love. Mary offered that gift to Jesus in love. Because she did that, Jesus commended Mary's preparation and presentation of that offering. Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." What wonderful words Jesus said. What did Jesus know was going to happen? That the gospel, that message of what he was going to do, one day, that gospel was going to be spread throughout the world. He knew that what he would do on the cross would be known to people north, south, east, and west. That gospel would spread, that sweet fragrance of his sacrifice would spread around the world Just like that fragrance of the nard had now spread throughout the house and had replaced the sweet and good aromas of the dinner that was cooking and being prepared. Jesus' response was accepting her offering of love, her fruit of faith. But Jesus wasn't the only one who responded to what Mary did. There were other responses, and these, in fact, were quite different. Mark writes, some of those present objected to one another and rebuked her harshly. They thought very negatively of the sacrifice that Mary had made. They first talked among themselves, and then they rebuked her because they said, this perfume could have been sold for a year's wages. Imagine that. Giving a year of your wages at one shot to the Lord. And that's exactly what Mary did. But they said, that money could have been given to the poor. It could have been put to better use. Fair enough. Jesus even said, giving to the poor is a good thing. And you'll have plenty of time to do that later. But you'll always have, and he said, you'll always have the poor with you. So we really can't criticize their observation because it was true. That money could have been sold, or that money could have been given to help the poor. See, John tells us that one of the people who objected was Judas. And Judas objected harshly to Mary for quite a different reason. Judas had no interest in the poor. He used the same argument, but John also tells us that Judas objected because he was a thief. Because Judas always had his hand in the disciples' pouch, stealing money from them and from the Lord. What is your response to Mary's gift, to her offering, to her sacrifice? What do we think about what she gave to Jesus? Well, let's use our own circumstances as an example to help us think about that. We're going to spend over $1 million to build a nice new narthex and church and to remodel our present building. Couldn't we have borrowed that money and given it to the poor? That money would have done a lot of good. Could have paid a lot of missionaries with that money. Or what about our congregational mission offering that we send in every month from our offerings to help train pastors and teachers and send home and world missionaries and do the work of administrating the Lord's work among people? Couldn't we take that money and use it ourselves? We could take that money and use it to give to the poor as well. Well, maybe that is a legitimate argument. Or maybe it's the argument of a selfish and greedy heart. Whatever we give to the Lord, whether that be big or small, when it's given as a fruit of faith, when it's given in love, Jesus says the same thing about our gifts as he says about Mary's. I tell you the truth. She did what she could do for me, and it is a beautiful thing. So our building and dedicating that to the Lord's work, when we're doing that as a fruit of our faith, is a beautiful thing we do for the Lord. When we give of our offerings to help the church at large as a fruit of faith and love, that's a beautiful thing. Whatever we do as a fruit of faith, Jesus remembers that as an act of our love. Jesus said of Mary, "I tell you the truth, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." God, the Holy Spirit, inspired these gospel writers to record what Mary did. Tonight, again, Jesus' words are coming to pass. We are, through the Word of God, remembering what Mary did as a fruit of faith in love for her Savior. The reason that Mary did that, as I mentioned, is that she loved Jesus more than anything. Those who were there and objected did not get that. But Jesus got it. Jesus knew her heart. Jesus knew why she had made that offering. Her love was a beautiful thing because it flowed from faith. Mary's anointing Jesus also served a useful purpose that even she did not realize at the time. Remember I said that Jesus didn't need that perfume, at least not yet? Well, in a couple of days, he would need that perfume for a few hours when his dead body was in the tomb. Remember the women on Easter morning were bringing perfume. They had prepared things like nard and other perfumes to bring to anoint Jesus' body in death. Jesus says, by what Mary did, she is showing that you might have the poor with you always, but you're not going to have me always, because I'm going to leave you soon. I'm going to die. And what Mary did has anticipated my death on the cross for you. On the cross of Jesus Christ, God the Father broke his alabaster jar and poured out the most valuable and precious thing that he has, and that is his one and only Son. And he poured it all out. He left it all on the cross. He didn't hold back a single drop of Jesus' blood that he shed on the cross for us. And across the centuries now, as Jesus said, as that gospel goes throughout the world, that sweet fragrance of Jesus' words, "Father, forgive them," fills the hearts and the minds of those who need to know him. Those who are dying without him. That sweet fragrance of the gospel of Jesus Christ fills the world as you and I break our alabaster jars and sacrifice for the furthering of the kingdom by the preaching of the gospel. The smell of the gospel of Jesus Christ is God the Father saying, "I was determined to save the world from their sins." It is God the Father saying, "I was determined to save you from your sins and from hell." God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son as our Savior. When the Holy Spirit leads us to fathom and appreciate the cost of God's love for us, that moves us, as it did Mary, to not count the cost in our fruits of faith. Like Mary, we break our alabaster jars and pour out more generosity, more compassion, more Christ-centered living, and more eagerness to serve and honor the one who loved us. "I tell you the truth," Jesus said, "fruits of faith will be remembered. On Judgment Day, God will remember our fruits of faith that we did to show our love for him." Because our Savior loved us and gave himself up as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God on the cross for sin. That is why we sing and survey his wondrous cross when we say, were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a tribute far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Amen.